שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש.
Hello, we are reading in the writings of Rabash. The article is The Time of Redemption. This is an article that is not translated yet to English. We will do our best. Questions can be sent to kab.tv. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. The article is The Time of Redemption.
So what's he saying? That when the time of redemption comes, it's true, either we go beito, in its own pace, according to the regular general process, with suffering and blows, without any desire or participation from the lower one, or by hachishena, hastening the times, with participation of the lower one, and then it's not time dependent, only on efforts towards attaining the goal, which becomes also for the Creator and also for the created being, it becomes the same goal. And then we advance quickly without suffering. So we're in the time of redemption. This whole generation is the time of redemption. Even though it may not seem so, we don't know what's really accumulating in this generation, but this is how it's happening. And we must prepare ourselves more for the light of redemption, meaning the reforming light, which influences and advances us. And then we have no ability to advance, but all our actions are only towards the light. To awaken the light, that is the only thing demanded of us. And we need to understand that really good and feel it and aim ourselves in that way in order to not waste our efforts on any kind of false or other goals, but only for the light, that everything depends on it. Which is leaving slavery towards freedom, as much as we can discern between slavery and freedom. Slavery means my will to receive that the Creator created enslaves me, and freedom means to be free from the ego, from the angel of death, that I have the ability to finally express my love and bestow to everyone. And you can't leave exile before we are in the exile, meaning the feeling of exile must be as the beginning, as a means, as a point, that from it and onward we can go out to redemption. That we learn that the difference between exile and redemption, or galut and geula, is the letter aleph. There's one letter difference in Hebrew when it's spelled. So the difference between them, Galut and Geula, is the letter Aleph, which means the presence of the Creator, the deficiency for the quality of the bestow, for that force of love and bestow that a person wants to be in that quality, in love, in bestow, towards the others. That is called that he is searching for the Creator. That he feels that he's in exile, that he can't, in practice, he can't love the others. That is called that he's in the exile. And then, in according to that, if he establishes his deficiency correctly for the love of the others, then he gains redemption, that he has actual ability to love the others. Is that clear? I think it's clear. We can't say it more clear than that. And it is known that the Holy Torah is eternal and comes and works in every generation. So it has nothing to do with times or generations, but all the souls which are in all of humanity, they will all be corrected from generation to generation, and all those processes. And we say in the Haggadah of Pesach, the Passover book, that every generation a person must see himself as if he came out of Egypt. meaning he must see himself, why, in every generation, in every state, in every degree, in every moment, a person has to renew that feeling inside that he is in Egypt now and he wants to get out now. He has to be in that passage between Egypt and the Exodus. That is the best state. Why? Because you're raising your shattered vessel to the state of connection. That's the difference between being in Egypt, is feeling that you're disconnected from the others, that you want to be connected with them in mutual love, and you can, and you're suffering. So that is called that you feel the exile. And in according to your demands to come out of the exile, that means to ascend to a state where you're connected with everyone, and you can bestow your connection to everyone, called love. That's why without the feeling of exile, we can't reach redemption, because without that deficiency to connect and bestow to others, which is the implementation of love, the realization of love, you won't be able to come out. For what? That is the exit. For that reason, we need to know the matter of the exile, which we are in. If we are in, we are, but do we feel it? And every generation, meaning in every state, if we talk about an individual person, he must come out of this bitter exile. What is that? The Ari tells us that the exile in Egypt was that the da'at, the knowledge, the awareness was in exile, meaning the awareness of holiness. Meaning that a person in the exile doesn't understand what redemption is, he just understands it has to be something opposite of what he's in now. That even if he has great pleasures in corporeality, you can't believe how much the Creator wants to give. And that depends on a person's resistance. He doesn't, not in order to just put an obstacle in front of him and toss him out. But what does it mean, the King of Egypt? King of Egypt means the will to receive, that inside of it wants to receive all of the fulfillments that are possible in this world. Food, sex, family, money, respect, knowledge, anything you can include in that, that is called the King of Egypt. You want to run away from him? You want to stand against him and fight when he says, take everything, you are the King of Egypt? No. I don't see your eyes burning. Meaning, a person is given an ability. Here, take everything you want. Food, sex, family, respect, money, knowledge. Here, everything. You are the king of the world. Okay? King of the world. Everything you have, except for one thing. Bestow in love. That you will sit right now, delighted in mercy, chafetz chesed, and you only have the ability to bestow in love. Here, please, you'll be able to love, you'll be able to bestow, but what is worth it? And here, the person's will to receive and the light against it show a person what he's disconnected from, what he's losing. You can be a king of this state, the king of the world, Pharaoh. And instead, you're lacking the love of others, that you'll love them? That's the state a person's in. Well, that's already in the end of the exile, where he really determines that that is the exile. But also need to think about it a bit. And here the Holy Zohar tells us About the Sol and Machmes, the dough in the east, they are 1 degree. We call it the other side, the evil inclination, and another God. That's all against holiness. But the evil inclination has everything the good inclination has in it. It's one against the other. The Creator created them. And Bala Sulam says that the Sitra Acha, the other side, and the Klipa, and the evil inclination, is not but the will to receive in a person. And that is between mind and heart, either in thought or in a desire, in both. Meaning all of the desires and thoughts for the person's own benefit, supposedly. That from the beginning, we each of us is a small pharaoh. Meaning that pharaoh's control, the king of Egypt, and his slaves are the will to receive control over the organs. Well, you read it, I can't see anything.
Meaning that all the limbs and organs, when they are in order to receive, they are called the slaves of Pharaoh. It is known that the first factor in the work is in Lolishma, meaning from the side of the education, which is called the mitzvot that are taught by people, which begins on the foundation of the will to receive, which let a person understand that the pleasures that are corporeal have not that much value, because what are all the years that a person lives in this world?
That a person also calculates, how much can I gain in this world? How much can I attain? So I want to work. I'm going to die eventually. So I want to work in order to get something for the next world. Just like terrorists or religious people, they're working for the next world. Imagine that. If they take that term, the next world, from this world, the reward after death, what would a person be left with? To be a beast? That's it. That's how a person always calculates towards what he'll get after death. It's a great problem that a person thinks that there's anything after death. But for now, where there's nothing else, that's what they have to think. Okay.
And through Torah and mitzvot, he will be rewarded with spiritual rewards in the next world, which is an eternal world. And also in this world, he will merit success and corporeal pleasures through the keeping of Torah and Mitzvot, through which we will have health and salvations and an abundance of income and success, and we will merit long lives.
That's how Pharaoh is actually bribing us, that you can get into such states that you're sure that you're enjoying this world and living in great hope that you'll have the next world, and every day you go and you add and you invest in that same savings, more and more coins in that next world. Meaning in this world you don't have to do anything except for just keeping a few things without really reaching a new internal state. That's it. Without making corrections on your ego, on your will to receive, but only doing mechanical actions alone. That is called the Torah of the landlords. That the Torah is more than the landlords, because then it demands a person to already make a correction upon himself.
Anyhow, man, on behalf of his will to receive, has the nature of laziness. Meaning there are people who suffice with bread and water, and there are people who need also meat and fish, and there are those who need beautiful vessels and glorious clothing, and there are people that also need nice apartments. And this is all according to the energy in a person, meaning that we don't want to work more than their necessities. And each and every one has a certain measure of his own in what his necessity is. But to work in order to bestow is not the nature of man.
Yeah, because all of the reward is felt in him. It's not in him. He doesn't receive anything from it. He doesn't gain anything. There's people who are willing to spend billions. We even see it. It's being publicized now. All kinds of rich people, the way they scatter their money around, but they have pleasure from doing that action. Here, we're speaking about a person that needs to do an action without enjoying in his own vessels, in his own feeling. We're willing to pay a lot of money in order to have fun. We do such actions, each one of us. But to do such actions that I give to everybody, and when I just pass things out, and from that I don't feel any benefit, so where will I get an impulse for this? And what can I check myself that I'm doing anything? We don't have other vessels, not even to feel that I'm in giving.
And all this is because man was created in the matter of the will to receive for himself. And to be rewarded true pleasures, one needs to first merit the matter of adhesion, called equivalence of form, meaning to suit his intention to be for the sake of above, called to bestow, which is the measure of the Creator, called the bestower, which is against our nature.
Meaning I have to reach a state that I enjoy the actions of the Creator, just as the Creator, from the actions of giving, that I get nothing in return. If you tell me you will start feeling the people that you are bestowing to them, and then you'll see how much your giving is great. So that's corporeal actions, it's egoistic actions. There's a lot of people who give out everything to the whole world. A spiritual action means that I can't see the result of my action. That in my will to receive, I don't get any impression from it. So how can I do it? But if I do it in such a way where I feel a result in my will to receive, that's already a reward. It's not an action of bestow anymore. It's not called love, that I give to somebody, and by that I feel pleasure. Spiritually speaking, a mother gives to a child because she feels pleasure by giving. Nature connects between them, and then she feels that for her, he's more precious to her than herself. That's it. She doesn't sleep, she doesn't eat, she's not concerned about herself, nothing, only for him. That's why we don't understand spirituality. We don't understand how you can give without any return to ourselves. For that reason, we are invited to learn that in society. Only in the connection between us, we can then start attaining these discernments through the reforming light. That's it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to reach any kind of excitement, even the smallest discernment, what it means, a spiritual action and spiritual pleasure, that spiritual pleasure specifically by me being the giver. And I don't feel that I'm giving pleasure to the one I'm giving to. It doesn't come back to me for me to get inspired from it, from a result of my action. Meaning we can start getting closer to this and attain it only when we're in a connection in the group. There is where we start discovering that discernment called giving with no return. And there's really the greatest pleasures in that, above matter. We find
it follows that he's in exile, meaning under the control of the king of Egypt. And since the body is called the will to receive, hence there is no point in a person working the Creator above his will. Because in a matter that is necessity, there is no pleasure, just the life of sorrow. And that is the way of the Torah. Until we come to the point of Torah Lishma, then life is the life of sorrow, since it is on the way of coercion.
When a person forces himself to integrate and mingle in society, to draw the reforming light, he doesn't see during that time that he's in any good state. On the contrary, he calls this state the exile, and this exile gradually comes closer to a state that he hates it so badly, this exile, that he is ready for redemption. What does he hate exactly? He hates his nature, that he's not able to do any action with no self-benefit. And then with a great scream, a great cry, where all these discernments accumulate in him, comes redemption. That means that he can already be connected with the friends to bestow to them only. And for himself, he just disappears from himself. He doesn't feel himself. He's completely devoted to connection. That is called that he is in an integral system, that he rotates like a cogwheel only with the movements of the whole system. He has no other desire just to spin around with them in the same direction like everybody. Like cogwheels. We understand that, right? That's it. So I'm now a cogwheel, a gear, and I'm rotating with the whole system, and it determines what I'm supposed to do. And every time I have to discover that sensitivity to find that desire of the general system of those cogwheels, and in every desire, with all force, against all disturbances, to include myself in it. And that's how a person reaches the complete correction. That whole system, when he constantly annuls himself and puts himself in the system, it starts becoming his. Because he starts feeling all of his actions, all of its movements, all of its goals. And that's how he is included in that system of bestowal. And his connection with others is called love. That's already the time of redemption.
The direction of this system is towards awakening a deficiency for the love of others, or towards getting to love of others? How does it operate on a person who says, I have to attain this, or it shows him that it's possible to attain this?
System doesn't tell this person anything, even though we say that, but only the reforming light that is revealed in the system. The system is our desires, which are corrected or corrupted more or less, and that are in somewhat connected between one another. Now, it's like in a clutch in the car. How do you call it in Hebrew? Matzmed, yeah, the clutch, that they're touching each other. They can either rotate free one towards the other, or they can be in some kind of connection, that they're rotating together, but still a bit loose, not in complete synchronicity. We also have those gears that you gradually, like they used to have it in a bus, I don't know what they have today, that the cogwheels like gradually enter the engagement with the others. And there's all kinds of systems that are, that they don't really put the teeth one into the other, you know, other kinds of connection. So even though we're in that kind of system, still each one is kind of rotating freely and partially in connection, and yes and no, and sometimes like this or like that. And there's, each one has a sense and the sense of his own. That's how it happens.
Does the reforming light give a feeling that
it only works according to efforts, that each one does according to his individual state to include himself in the general system?
And what does he show to the effort? Does he show it a greater deficiency, a greater need, or does it show it?
What does the upper light give a person? I can say that. Everything only comes from that. Also today, what we feel, what we understand in mind and heart, it all comes from the reforming light. Even on the degree of life, on still, it's only the light which brings the livelihood, the feeling of life, the feeling of participation, as you say that. Obviously, even in a person who has no connection with spirituality, with Kabbalah at all, it's still, whatever's in him, is still what's moving him, is the light. Just he's advancing without understanding, without awareness, without knowledge. Yeah.
And the society is supposed to make this transition from a person from the feeling of blows or deficiency to a direction of feeling and pleasure to see what's happening in reality?
Society is only in charge of the atmosphere in society. As much as we're in the great evil and we can reach the great good. Lowliness of ourselves and greatness of the Creator. Like yesterday, we read on Abraham's inheritance that only with the help of the nations you can come out of exile. Yeah.
No, Mayor.
The giving without any return, that's the quality of the Creator.
Yes. It's a different quality. We need to understand that there's nothing different in it, nothing unusual. It's just not in our world. But it's the nature which exists and lives and operates, and our world is actually the imaginary world. We are in the world of Ein Sof. All the actions are completely bestowal actions. There is nothing else in reality. And we were given a certain kind of dormancy, a certain type of comatose feeling that we're in the actions of reception, which is false. It doesn't exist in nature in such a manner. In our feelings, it feels that way. And we need to rise above that. The moment we rise above that, we see that there's no value in this world compared to all the rest of the systems that operate completely in order to bestow. All of them.
So a person can attain such a quality only if he reaches Dvikut with the Creator.
Adhesion in the Creator is already the result. If he wants to learn from the Creator of this action, he's called the Creator's worker.
So it's not that a person adheres with the Creator and then determines that none else besides him.
No, no. Adhesion in the Creator is the result.
So there's a person that can bestow to the Creator and not enjoy it?
Why he's not enjoying? But his pleasure is not that he feels pleasure in his vessels of reception, but in the vessels of bestowal.
So a person acquires the same quality as the Creator, giving with no return, and he bestows to the Creator, and he's enjoying his bestow to the Creator.
Yes, of course. We must say also that the Creator is enjoying also from bestowing to the creatures. Only in us this pleasure is received in the corrected vessels of reception, and we can't say about the Creator. He doesn't have kilim. Yes.
How does a person who doesn't study Kabbalah can increase the influence of the light on him? He kind of knows about it.
No, I don't understand. A little yes, a little no.
So how can a person do it?
Only through the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah in the right group, which therefore, if a person asks the question, what's the meaning of my life, where he wants to find the meaning in life, and he doesn't find it, so he's brought to a group, to a teacher, to the books, and that's where he starts to implement himself.
So only people that come, it's a really high threshold of problems in life where a person comes there.
Not problems, it has nothing to do with problems. It could be that a person didn't go through any problems. But that question is about the essence of his life. He has no problems. It could be that today I was rich, healthy, successful. We used to go and have joy and pleasure. All of a sudden I'm fed up with it. The point in life, the meaning in life, the flavor left, I don't want any of that. And I start searching. I'm not searching from the previous suffering, but now I'm suffering from the fact that the desire that has been revealed, I can't fill it by anything.
What you just described is when somebody really does an active action, and only then he can enjoy the light.
A person can enjoy the reforming light by, as it is written in Item 4 in the introduction to the study of Ten Sefirot, that the Creator puts one's hand on the good fate, and a person realizes this fate, this opportunity, by being integrated in the surroundings, in his environment, studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, studies from the advice of the Kabbalists and of the teacher, and advances. And there is no other form for advancement. That's it. You can invent whatever you want, it won't help. Because that's the structure which stabilizes such from the upper system.
Okay, one more thing. Us as a group, what help do we have to give everybody around the group that he can really come and...
What is the in the environment?
The people around us that are... How can we help people that they will come closer to the group? What else can we do except for a regular structure of open campuses?
How do I know? There may be 1,001 other actions can be done.
Like what?
I don't know. Actions in which you tell people how much connection is the salvation from all bad.
But it's not enough. You're saying that they have to come.
No, I'm not telling them they have to come. If they don't have a question about the meaning of life, about the purpose in their life, and what that question is, then they're not. They don't belong to Yashar Kel, to Lirosh, to head. They belong to the goof of the Parzuf, not the body of the Parzuf and not the head of the Parzuf. Israel is the head of the Parzuf. This is called the transition from the Creator. But all those who don't have that question and they're just in Kropriyad and they can't get along, which is all the people of Israel that are around you and many others, other than the members of Bnei Baruch all over the world. All the rest belong to the Guf, and therefore we don't draw them to internal work. We organize them in circles, in workshops, in lectures, in all kinds of campuses of connection and not of Kabbalah.
This towards that campuses of connection, all kinds of frameworks like that. How should that be? Do you have some kind of vision that
by that we build ourselves towards the tomorrow? As we build ourselves and learn between us how humanity should look like tomorrow, that through the connection between us we come to a better life. Because it's clear that the Creator demands of us to be connected, and it's clear that we, through our ego, are not capable of reaching connection. So we're in a crisis, and the crisis is the gap between that which nature demands, connection, and what the ego demands, which is individualism, disconnection. This brings us a crisis on all levels, in everything you want, from family to social issues and industry and the money handling in the world and finances and everything. You see, they wanted to make a united Europe. Eventually it's crashing, and many other examples, meaning we need to teach a person how, we need to teach the world how to be connected correctly, because without that, first of all, we need to clarify this point. And if it's clear already, and there are many studies about it, and a lot of talk about the fact that the world is drawn to connection by nature, it doesn't depend on us. It will push us, this force of nature will push us to connection more and more. All people, the whole world. And whether we like it or not, we will get closer to this. The problem is that coming closer to it, without wanting to come closer to it, brings to war. And to get closer with wanting to brings prosperity. So that's it. So what's worthwhile?
To get closer. So we have to organize a place for people to come and be together, to gather, to...
From this, you need, in your care for the external people, not the members of Nebuch, that don't have a point in the heart, you need to do all kinds of systems of study, participation, picnics, incorporation between people. They don't want to study, and God forbid, they don't want to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. So a little psychology, a little bit of this and that, workshops, a little about life, about the meaning of life. That's why Baal HaSulam respects materialistic psychology so greatly. And then, when you go out to them and connect between them, all of a sudden you see that, wow, I'm successful. Just like our friends in Moscow, or it started now also in America, they're very successful. They're coming to organizations, Jewish organizations, the Sochnut, the Jewish agency, Hillel, places where it's very serious, and they're doing all kinds of actions there. And these actions are very successful. And these organizations themselves, when they want to go and do these actions themselves, it doesn't work out for them. It doesn't happen. And it's not that they lack any experts, psychologists, and as such. They really want to, but it doesn't work out. But we are capable of doing it. Why? Because they really don't want to be in contact with us, all these Jewish organizations. They truly don't. They know that all those people who come, they come from Kabbalah and from Michael Lightman. But they have no choice. They have no choice because they can't draw the audience. They can't connect the audience. And therefore, without choice, they have to do it. We're not proud. We're willing to come. Just give us the opportunity to work with your community and as such. Slowly, slowly. If we were to open the wisdom of Kabbalah to the world, as the wisdom of Kabbalah to the 1%, and the wisdom of connection to the 99%, we have done great work as the representatives of the Creator in this world. It's truly, I can't even say how appreciative it would be. God willing. That's it. So, what, is there a question still?
Friends from Eilat are saying maybe you can give us some exercise to implement during the day.
Wait, yesterday, did you do an exercise?
No,
the day before yesterday. Did we do it or not, Zvika? You didn't do it. I didn't do it. He's getting mad at me that I said that he didn't do it. Do you remember what I drew? No? So I drew it this way.
Yes. The
lips, yes? There are lips here, and there are also teeth here. Yes? That's clear. I will write that this is peh, this is mouth. So that you understand. And there is heart. Heart, I really will do it in black like this. With the point in the heart. So, also the point in the heart. And also the heart are all connected to the peh, to the mouth. In the middle, we have the brain, some box. What does this box say? What does this box say?
This box says,
talk about what is worthwhile for you. Yes? Talk about what's beneficial to you. So now, how can I, through my brain, do a scrutiny, critique, discern, and carry out it in such a way that my mind and my mouth and my heart will be as equal as possible?
Okay?
That's the exercise that I gave.
Tov.
Okay.
Huh?
Yes, you and everyone should do. Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
okay. So that's the exercise. I truly recommend to do so. I really recommend it. What are we doing through the mind, through the brain, in order to bring the mouth close to the heart? In my heart, there is Ein Sof. There are endless thoughts, desires.
Everything.
No one knows what I have in my heart. The brain has a simple role. How to bring the heart close to the mouth. The heart is called concealed, and the peh, the mouth, is called revealed. How do I make it such that that which is concealed in me, it will be revealed? So I will be able to reveal. It works out that eventually I will be able to reveal it under the condition that it will be in order to bestow. Then I won't be ashamed. Then I will be able to do it. Or in Kuprati, when I reveal things that I'm concerned for my family, or to be a good citizen somehow, like everyone. But eventually, only in order to bestow that which is in my heart can be revealed. Well, yes.
But the brain can understand what in order to bestow is only the heart can. So how can he bring it closer to the mouth? The brain doesn't understand what bestowing is.
The brain makes all the discernments that you need to have. Try, and you'll see. Okay, so do we have some announcements? So please.
So we'll thank our audience. You are welcome to come hear more announcement on Sviva Tova. So we want to remind everybody that we have tens of friends coming out to give introductory lessons all over, lectures all over Israel. There's a lot of people taking part in this action. It's very important. And maybe a lot of people are going to use their mouth to bring the hearts closer. So how can we have the correct things coming out of their mouth?
Look, according to what we studied, that the main thing is the connection, that by operating the general system of Adam HaRishon, bring it to correction. So there's no more important action than bringing people closer to that. Therefore, whoever is going, congratulations, and I'm saying this to everyone. I would be very happy to see each and everyone that every single day and every evening in every possible way participates in organizing people to connections. And if it's not at the level of the intention like we are, then at least in the direction of, and the way of connection, the folklore way, the general way. One of the two. And there is no such thing. And those that you are organizing in a simple way without the wisdom of Kabbalah and everything, they will start talking about that. They will start to understand this because you are bestowing to them. And you don't understand, but it's moving from you to them. It's already clear. There are those who have been through this and have felt it. Right, Chaim? Well, give him, let him say something.
I just want to say a big L'chaim to all the friends all over Israel that in the last 3 weeks, day and night, are doing exactly what we're saying here. They're actually doing it there. They're disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah out in the people. So big L'chaim to all our friends and all the groups in Israel and the world. L'chaim.
And I am saying again, if anyone has an opportunity, if someone has some time and doesn't know where to associate himself to, you should go out with those people who are going out this evening and participate. By doing so, you are truly in the process of correction. To be alone, to not cause connection between people, is simply not to advance on the path. Good luck.
Why are we choosing to live like we are? Kabbalah Campus is inviting everybody for a lecture about the wisdom of Kabbalah this evening in 14 places in Israel. Admission free. Open Friday. Friends from all over Israel, welcome to come here on Friday morning in a special Kabbalah lesson. Good day, everybody. רוצים להרגיש את המקום שנמצא בינינו, מקום של חום וביטחון, מאיר לעולמנו. מעל תנועה, מעל מקום, מעל כל הזמנים, מקום שבו כבר לא צריך מילים. בוא נצא.
רוצים לחבר.